Kedushas Levi Parshas Vayechi, Tavshin Ayin Ches. Okay, we'll start from the first piece. Yosef brings his children to his father to receive a bracha. And the pasuk says, Vayivarechem bayom ahu lemor, v'cho yivarech Yisrael lemor, yisimcha Elohim ke'Ephraim v'chemenasha, v'yosem es Ephraim lifnei Menasha. Yaakov very famously crossed his hands, and he blessed the children. And he said that we should bless our children in the future. Yisimcha Elokim k'Ephraim v'Chemenasha. V'chol yuvarich Yisrael lemor. Yisrael, obviously Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu was blessing them, but also that's how we bless our children today. And Yaakov placed Ephraim before Menasha. So the Kedushas Levi has a lengthy piece explaining what's this inyan of Ephraim coming before Menasha and how does it fit into the general mahalech of how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So he starts with a cryptic Gemara in Maseches Megillah. He says to explain the pasuk Kodem Navo Levar Maimer Chazal in Maseches Megillah. Explain a cryptic Gemara in Maseches Megillah and Daf Tesvav. Bo Re'ei Shalo Kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basar V'dam. The Gemara says, if we wouldn't know the difference, the Gemara says that you can't compare the way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu acts to the way that a human being acts. Basar V'dam, a human being of flesh and blood, when he wants to make a cup of tea, so he takes a kettle, and he fills it with water. Right? First he has the kettle, then he inserts the water, and then he boils it up. Right? So a basar v'dam, a person of flesh and blood, he takes a kadeira, he takes a pot, he takes a kettle, v'achar kach nosin l'socha mayim, and then he fills it, once he has a kli, then he fills it with substance, he fills it with water. U'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosin mayim v'achar kach shoves his kadeira. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu places the water, and then he makes the pot around it. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu first places the water, and then he creates the kli to surround it. Obviously, a human being couldn't put the water on the stove, and then add the kettle afterwards. So what's the pshat in this very cryptic Gemara? So he explains as follows. He says, the Kfar Perashu we've already explained in our writings by Purim. The Pasuk, Kol HaMachal Asher Samti V'Mitzrayim Lo Asim Alecha Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha. It's a very chashuv Pasuk. Kol HaMachal, all of the illness that I placed upon Mitzrayim, I will not place upon you. Lo asim alecha. Hashem says, I will not place it upon you. Ki ani Hashem rofecha. Because I am Hashem, your healer, your doctor. Anyone have a simple question on this pasuk? Kol ha-machal asher samti mitzrayim. Lo asim alecha. Ki ani Hashem rofecha. Sounds like it says a Jew will never get sick. That's what it sounds like, right? They were so sick in Mitzrayim, but don't worry. Hashem says, I'm your doctor. There'll never be a sick Jew in the world. Unfortunately, there have been a lot of sick Jews in the history of the world, and some who didn't recover from their illness. So we need to understand what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying in this pasuk. The Adua Maimer Chazal, Hashem Yisbarach Makdim Refu Alamaka. One of the most important rules to remember is the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the medicine before Jordan slide down. Prepares the medicine before he prepares the illness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the medicine before he strikes, before the person is afflicted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention in causing difficulties is to use it as a hechatimsa to bring a Yeshua. Which means Hashem never makes a person sick until he prepares the medicine. So again, you'll ask the same simple question, but there are Jews, Rachmana Litzlan, who became sick and weren't healed and didn't survive. But it fits the broader theme of Jewish thought, and the Kedushas Levi says it often, that Hashem doesn't do anything bad. Which means if the person, you know, Rahman al-Itzlan, died from their illness, so that's also part of the master plan. And that's part of their healing, whatever that means spiritually, whatever that means in terms of Gugule Neshamos, whatever that means in terms of the bigger picture of how Hashem runs the world. But Hashem doesn't make a Jew ill because he dislikes him. God forbid, there's no such thing. And that's what it means, kol ha-machala. He says, v'zeu kol ha-machala, lashon pu'ula, klomar, ha-pu'ula v'kavanas ha-choli. The way in which a Jew becomes sick is radically different than the way that a Russia of the world, like Mitzrayim, is punished. Meaning what? Kol ha-machala, klomar ha-pu'ula v'kavanas ha-choli, asher samti v'mitzrayim lo asim alecha. The way, the intention with which I punish Mitzrayim, Hashem says, no Jew will ever experience that. Let's read the whole pasuk again. Kol ha-machal asher samti Mitzrayim. The way in which, Rav Tzadok says the same thing, by the way, in Parshas Tazria, in the Pre-Tzadok, in Os Aleph, Rav Tzadok says the same yesod, reads the pasuk in a very similar fashion, that again, kol ha-machal asher samti Mitzrayim, the kavana of making the Mitzrayim ill, to punish them for their mistreatment of Klal Yisrael, right? Not that you won't have the same illness. It's possible that you have the same illness. But the kavana, but which I placed it upon Mitzrayim, lo asim alecha, that I would never place upon you, ki ani Hashem rofecha, because I'm Hashem and I prepare the refuah before the illness. There's always a game plan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't by chance get you sick and then figure out what to do with you. If a person becomes sick, it's with a very clear intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki etzlecha kavanas ki ani Hashem rofecha, rak bishvil harefuah v'yeshua she'achakach. And again, Yeshua will hopefully mean that the person will do tshuva when he's ill, and he'll become a better Jew, he'll become inspired, and he'll realize that his life is a very frail thing, and he'll think about the purpose of his existence. And again, God forbid that Jew who doesn't survive, who passes away, that Jew is also, again, it's part of his spiritual healing, and it's part of the bigger picture of what his neshama needs in this world. But Hashem is not out to get us. And that's very, very important to chazer that yisod over and over again. V'zeu betzaras yis Yisrael, chas v'shalom, ha-chasadim kodem. So therefore, when it comes to the suffering of Jews, chas v'shalom, the chesed precedes it. It precedes it both in terms of the preparation, that Hashem prepares the medicine before the illness, and it comes first in terms of the machshava. Right? The intention of the illness is again to achieve a greater source of chesed. So again, v'zeu betzaras yis Yisrael, chas v'shalom, chasadim kodem. So when it comes to the suffering of a Jew, the chesed is prepared in advance. Because that's the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of the suffering is to unlock that chesed. All the suffering that we're going through now for the last 2,000 years is paving the way for the unbelievable Beis HaMikdash that will be built. I remember I once read in a little volume from Shlomo, he said that if a person wants to build a bungalow colony, as Rav Shlomo said, if a person wants to build a bungalow colony, it doesn't take so long, you know. It's a simple structure. It's a more simple structure. If a person builds a house, it takes a little longer. He said, if a person's building Rockefeller Center, that was again Rav Shlomo's mashal, that takes a lot longer. You build a big structure, right? So he said, can we imagine? Rav Shlomo said, can you imagine what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 2,000 years he's been building something, and Hashem's building it. He didn't, you know, license it out to some contractor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spent 2,000 years building Bayis Shlishi. You can only imagine what it's going to be. The more time it takes to build something, the more chashuv the building is. And if Hashem took 2,000 years to build Bayis Shlishi, you can only imagine. So all the suffering is again being channeled into an unbelievable chesed that will reveal itself in Yirtzeh Hashem soon. So through the illness, the person becomes a kli to receive bracha. Hashem says, listen, you did some averos. I'm going to break you down a little bit. I'm going to make you ill. And you're going to think more about your life. Hopefully you'll do tshuva. You'll understand, again, the frailty of your existence. And then that will become a kli, that humility, as you lower yourself, as you humble yourself, the more you lower yourself, the more you allow Hashem to, so to speak, pour himself into you. And then you'll be makabel the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dine kasavnu... Where did I just go? Yeah. Wrong column, sorry. Kederech b'nei adam kisharotin lasos mi kli katan kli gadol. Tzricha shvira. When a person wants to make a small vessel into a big vessel, right, so you have to destroy the smaller vessel. You have to, let's say again, I have some metal that I'm working with, so I have to melt it down. I have to melt down the smaller kli in order to then fashion a bigger kli. I have to break the small kli to make a big kli. There's a process of shvira, of breaking, that allows something bigger to be created. Kein Hashem Yisbarach Baruch Hu rotze lashvi alado. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give you more bracha. Hashem wants to make you a bigger person, but he has to break you down a little bit in order to, right? We know that when a kli... when a kli cheres becomes tameh, you can't put it in a mikveh. You have to break it in order to fix it. So I think the Kotzker said, a Jew is a kli cheres. A person's a kli cheres. You're also made out of cheres. You're made out of pottery. You're made out of earth. You're also earthenware. Right? Adam was created from the dirt. So sometimes to metar ourselves, we have to break ourselves. The same way a kli cheres that becomes tameh has to be shattered in order to be purified. So a human being, like a kli cheres, this is our kli cheres. So sometimes we have to be broken. We have to be humbled in order to then be purified and to be able to recreate, right? Again, melt the materials down and make a bigger clay. Yeah.
So obviously, like, upon first glance, talking about physical well-being, could we suggest that this is the Indian of Rivi Akhav Manashachter, that sometimes for Hashem to have a massive, mm-hmm. you know, jump start,
for
you
sure.
to, you have to be broken down a little bit. You
for
have
sure.
to have bad days in order to have
you the
best.
Read the Litzarachalia, 100%. It gives life its the fuller context, for sure. You need the Shvira in order to grow.
So again, Hashem wants to send down tremendous bracha to you. But tzarach she'eh b'yacholto, she'eh yoser gadol. And Hashem wants to make it possible for you to become bigger. Galal kein shalach lo tzara ocholi chas v'shalom shuzeu shviras hakli katan. So Hashem gives you an isayim. Hashem gives you an illness. Hashem gives you a struggle, a challenge. And that breaks, that shatters
your smaller perspective. Right? People who suffer have a broad perspective on life. V'chazir levart from Rishim Shem Rafal Hirsch. The Chassidus Shavart from Rishim Shem Rafal Hirsch. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, I think it's Parachaf Hei, but I'm not sure. The Pasuk says, David HaMelech says, Tzaros levavi hirchivu, Yimutzukosai hotzieni. The pains of my heart have expanded. Right? My heart's about to burst, David HaMelech says. Yimutzukosai hotzieni. Take me out of my captivity. Set me free. I can't handle it anymore. David HaMelech suffered so much. Rabbi Nachman says in Sichas Aran that David HaMelech wrote to Hillel under his covers that night, crying himself to bed in his pillow. He was so broken, so pursued by enemies. He suffered in Ruchnias and Gashmias. So says David HaMelech, Tzaros levavi yirchivu, the pain of my heart is expansive. Hashem, you need to set me free. I can't handle it anymore. He's crying out to Hashem. But Hashem Shor Afal Hirsch has a gevaldik chassidus shavart. Hashem Shor Afal Hirsch says, Tzaros, kama, my suffering, levavi hirchivu, has expanded my heart. It's expanded my perspective. People who suffer in this world, right, yes, they're broken at first, but when they're able to pick themselves up and dust themselves off, then they're able to be much stronger people. They can handle much more. As opposed to the person who's pampered and has an easy life and, you know, is never exposed to things. A person who has a broad experience, tzaros, David HaMelech says, tzaros, my difficulty, levavi hirchivu, has expanded my heart. Again, he still davens at the end of the pasuk, "Mitzuko saiho tzieni, take me out of my suffering, free me from my captivity." Right? But David HaMelech understands that sometimes you have to let go of the more immature version of yourself to create a bigger version of yourself. Rabbi David Aaron has in one of his books a beautiful Torah. He says that's the pshat when the Gemara says that Torah is acquired by a person who's meimis atzmo alet. Kill yourself over Torah. So the typical yeshivish way to say it is you have to shtay, you have to give up the pleasures of this world in order to grow in Torah, which is all true. That's what Chazal say. That's what Pirkei Avos says. Right? You have to be able to make sacrifices, right? To kill yourself over Torah, to really work, you know, break your brain on that piece of Tosfos. Rabbi David Aaron writes one of his books, I think it may be The God-Powered Life, I don't know what that's called.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
I think it's The God-Powered Life, I think that's where he says it. He says what it really means, the pnimius, what it really means that it's such a chush of Torah. What it really means to kill yourself over Torah is what the Kedushas Levi is saying here. To break your little clay, to break your little high school version of yourself, to become a Ben Torah. And then to break the Shana Aleph version of yourself, to become a more mature Ben Torah. Right? And then to break the Bacher Dikka version of yourself, to become a married person. Right? And then to break the mold of just you and your wife, to mirtzach and build a family. Right? That's what it means to be meimis atzmo alem. It means to kill the old character that you're playing. As Rabbi Aaron likes to always say, you know, I play a lot of different characters. I'm a rabbi. I'm a, right? So to be able to kill the old version of yourself in order to make a more mature, bigger kli. Yaakov, you want to say something?
Yeah, it seems like that's Derech Adam. Like, why can't we use the Jewish slave were saying at the beginning is that Hashem Baruch Hu makes the hot water and then the clay around it. So why is Hashem Baruch Hu acting Derech Adam?
Okay, good. So let's see how Hashem. Let's see how we finish it and tie it back to the Gemara. All right, let's not forget, we're trying to explain the Gemara that says that Hashem places the water and then makes the kli, makes the kettle. So what's the pshat? Okay, so let's see. So again, you have to realize that again, every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu is breaking us, he's breaking the small kli to reproduce a bigger kli. Right? Sha'achar kachi ha-yoser gadol v'zeh ha-choli nikra kedera. And this illness is the kli, is the kedera. It's the kli by which a person receives the mayim being chesed. Water is always synonymous with chesed. As opposed to, let's say, fire, which maybe is associated with gvura. V'zehu mayim rechazal, so now we understand, a person places the kedera, places the kli, and then he places the water, meaning from the perspective of a person, there has to be a kli in order to be filled. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his unbelievable foresight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to what? To first place the water. Hashem sees all the chesed that he wants to give you, all the bracha that he wants to give you, and then Hashem says, after he decides how much bracha he wants to give you, he'll figure out a way to turn you into the right size clay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tchil enosin mayim perish chasadim. The mayim merum is al chesed, like it says in the Zohar Kadosh. Shekav anasu al chasadim. Hashem's intention, the focus is the chesed. The illness, again, is the clay to come to the chesed. The suffering, the challenges, the struggles of life helps us to achieve the chesed. V'achar kach shofes as hakadera perish al yidei kavanasu l'chasadim.
that through, again, the intention, the focus of the chesed, Hashem then fashions the kli. Hainu, ha'adam shabalo atzara, the person who encounters the difficulty, shal yedeze yakli gadol, shev yacholto lekabal hashefa. And that will, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to break your little kli is not big enough for me to fill it up with the water that I want to fill it up with. So Hashem says, I'm focused, I place the water first, I figure out where I want you to be. And then Hashem says, I'll shatter your old version of yourself. And then together we'll refashion, we'll create a new kedera, a new kli, to again, for you to exist within. Okay, so that's the pshat in the Gemara. Now what does this have to do with Ephraim and Menashe? Let's come back to the pasuk now. Lefiza yivuar ha-pasuk ha-nizkar el. So with this we can understand the pasuk. Ki yesh bekan diktuk lama kasav zos v'bracha v'yasem es Ephraim lefnei Menashe. Hello, anu roen b'bracha shesam Ephraim lefnei Menashe. The Berditcher says, why does the pasuk need to say? The pasuk emphasizes that Yaakov placed Ephraim before Menashe, right? V'yasem es Ephraim lefnei Menashe. What do you mean? We just saw that the bracha was Yasimcha Elokim Ki Ephraim v'chemenashe, and then the pasuk comments and he placed Ephraim before Menashe. Thank you very much. We heard the bracha. We heard the bracha Yasimcha Elokim Ki Ephraim v'chemenashe. Right? Why is the Torah have to reiterate, V'yasem es Ephraim? You should realize V'yasem es Ephraim lefnei Menashe. We just read it ourselves. U'befi chazal ha'nishkal el yivur. But now we can understand what is Ephraim and what is Menashe. I'll get to you in a second, Yitzchak Mordechai. Let's just finish the piece. What's Ephraim? What's Menashe? So we explained earlier in the week the idea of the Chidush Erim and the Shem Yishmuel and many of the other Polish Tzadikim, the Divrei Cheskel of Shinov, whose Yartzeit was very recently, son of the Divrei Chaim. They all explain that the idea of Ephraim versus Menashe is Sur Meira versus Asei Tov. Right? Menashe is Sur Meira, and Ephraim being fruitful is Asei Tov. Right? In a similar fashion, but a little bit different, the Radichever says, what's the emphasis here? Ephraim before Menashe. Based on the Gemara that we explained that the water, Hashem places the water before HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the kli. Shegam zeh haya me'abracha shebereches Yisrael. Dine kasavnu shebi Yisrael ha'yeshua v'arafua hu mikodem. When it comes to Jews, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first makes the Yeshua, first makes the Rafua, before he makes anything else, before the Tzara. V'hu ha'ikar b'kakavana b'tzaris Yisrael ala Rafua v'ala Yeshua sheba achakach. The whole focus, again, and intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to bring about that Rafua, that Yeshua. Kedei she'a kli yosar gadol. Through the Shvira, through the process of breaking the small kli, we come to the bigger kli. So what is Ephraim and what is Menashe? Says the Berditcher. Why did Yosef name his son Menashe? Hinei Hashem shal Menashe romez ala tzara. Menashe represents the struggle, the tzara. Why did Yosef name his son Menashe? Kakasuv, as the pasuk says, v'yikr shemo Menashe ki nashani alokim. Yosef says, I named my son Menashe because ki nashani alokim, Hashem has allowed me to forget all of my suffering. But you see that the name of Menashe represents Yosef's struggles. Right? We said Menashe is a lashon of forgetfulness. Yeah? So, kinashani alokim es kol amali is the pasuk. I've forgotten all my hardship. What's Ephraim? Ephraim is, not only have I forgotten my hardship of my past life, being sold by my brothers, nearly killed by my brothers, but now in Mitzrayim, Ephraim, I'm being productive. I'm flourishing. I'm producing. V'ashem shel Ephraim merum ezal Yeshua, k'mo shekosav ki Ephraim alokim. Hashem has allowed me to sprout. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu says, right, Yosef, who himself has suffered, places Menashe before Ephraim. Yosef says, through the suffering, a person comes to salvation. Yaakov Avinu looks into the future and sees our suffering and says, Klai Yisrael need to know how this works. We need to know the Metzias is, Uve'emes b'Yisrael am kadosh, ha'yeshua hu mikodem v'hu ha'ikar. Ephraim is the ikar. Don't forget, Ephraim gets the right hand. Ephraim is before him. Yisim ha'lokim k'Ephraim ch'Menashe. You should realize that the whole purpose of all your Menashes is Ephraim. And therefore, right out in front, you should know the starting point is the Ephraim. And that's what it means, V'yasim es Ephraim, hu ha'yeshua, lefnei Menashe. That the Yeshua comes before the suffering. Shemurum ez ha'atzara, klomar. Shebi Yisrael am kadosh, ha'yeshua v'harefua hu kodem, v'hu ha'ikar. And that's something we have to chazer over every day of our life, to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only giving us suffering to help us break our more immature version of ourselves, to come to a deeper understanding of life. Tzaros, kama, levavi hirchiva. Suffering causes the heart to expand. Okay? Yeah.
Isn't that a little, like, not hard to accept, but Hashem is telling us that He's going to break us, but we have to build ourselves back up. Like,
we can choose to break ourselves. If we humble ourselves, if we live a life of bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we don't have to, right? I mean, the lesson is only for the person who doesn't learn it on his own.
But that, theoretically, isn't like suffering. If you're biddling yourself, Lashem Shemayim, it's
it is suffering.
Same.
It's still hard.
Like the picture I'm getting from here is like your job, you lose your job, like you lose your house, like everything's horrible. And then if you choose to turn to Hashem, Gishmak, you may get like a Gishmak. And if not, then Hashem theoretically kind of dealt you a hard hand and
right.
you folded. And now,
but if you do that Gemara, like I was saying for Aaron, if you're Mamis Atzma'la, if you kill yourself over Torah, let's be honest, all of us have grown a lot over the course of our life and we've played different characters in our life. So was it hard for us when we had to give up our high school characters to become our Eretz Yisrael characters? To give up certain things? Again, not a lot of bad things, but to give up certain things that we were very into or very focused on or very busy with to be able to focus on other things, it was hard. It is hard. It's still hard. We all reminisce about, you know, the good old days, right? But at the same time, we chose to make a sacrifice. So as long as we keep growing, and as long as we keep breaking our smaller kli to become a bigger kli, that's fine. If we don't, Hashem sometimes has to send a wake-up call. Right? And our job is to get it. And if we don't get it, Chas v'Shalom, then Hashem has to send a bigger wake-up call. Until finally we get it. Hashem, and that's what it means. But just don't forget, Hashem says, Kol ha-machla asher samti alecha, samti Mitzrayim, lo asim alecha. Don't think I'm punishing you like the Egyptians. Mitzrayim is being destroyed. A Jew doesn't go back to Mitzrayim, the Torah says in three places. Right? I'm trying to get rid of Mitzrayim. By you, I'm not trying to get rid of you. I'm trying to create you. I remember after 9/11, it's written up in the first published volume of Halakach V'Alibuv, Rav Mishur, Tavshin Samach Aleph volume, Parshas Netzavim. He spoke after 9/11. And after 9/11, he said a vart from the Yirah Kaddish. He said, Pasuk says, Mishamayim, Mishamayim Hishmata Din, Eretz Yara V'Shakta. Pasuk says, Mishamayim, Mishamayim, Shamata Hishmata? Shamata Din? From the heavens you heard a judgment. Eretz Yara, the world feared. The world was afraid. Vishakta, and was calm. So what's the pshat? Mishamayim Hishmata Din? From the heavens you heard a judgment. You're saying the airplanes in the heavens, right? Struck a tower, killed thousands of people. You heard it. Eretz Yara, everyone was so afraid. Vishakta. Now what's the Gemara already in Shabbos deals with this question. Pasuk is very strange. Yira and Sheket don't usually go together. Right? But everyone's afraid. What do you mean? Sheket means like the calm. So you could explain it in a very tragic way. I spoke a couple years ago on Tisha B'Av about this. I shared an account of someone describing what it's like, Rachmana Litzlan, after a terrorist attack, after, God forbid, a bus bombing in Eretz Yisrael. How they said the saddest sound is the sound of nothing. I mean, if people are screaming, that means people are alive, and right? But when it's quiet, when there's like this eerie quiet that hovers over the air, you know that it's much worse. So maybe that's what it means. Maybe the year of the fear, right? Shakta, right? After the towers collapsed, and there was just like, you know, there was the rash, and then it was just quiet. So everyone was killed. So that's a very scary way to read the pasuk. The Yid HaKadosh from Prishischa, the Heilig Yid from Prishischa, Yehudi HaKadosh from Prishischa explained as follows. Mishamayim Mishmata Din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes gives a din. Midas Adin. Hashem sends an illness. Hashem sends suffering. You lose your job. Rachmana Litzlan. Right? The Shidduch didn't work out. Whatever it is, you're suffering in something. You're going through a difficulty. Eretz Yara, if you're Yara, if you absorb it with Yira, meaning if you get the message, then Shachta, then it's over. Then it can be quiet afterwards. If you don't get the message, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to strike again. That's what it means. If you internalize the din, if you receive the midas din, and you get it that Hashem was sending you a message, and you don't try to circumvent it, but you stop and you think about it, like Eov and all of his suffering, just trying to make sense of it, right? So then afterwards, things are good. The end of the story of Eov, the very end of the sefer, is that things work out great for Eov. But if a person doesn't, if there's no yira, if there's no absorption of the midas din, then there's not going to be a quiet that comes afterwards. Hashem's going to have to strike again. So I think, again, in the same idea, if we constantly break our smaller kli to become bigger people, then Hashem doesn't have to do it for us. But when we don't, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to strike. But it's important for us to realize that it's always Ephraim before Menashe. The focus is always the growth and the Yeshua and the Refuah, and not Chas V'Shalom that Hashem should break us down. Okay, there's a lot of good pieces, and there's a lot to talk about here, so let's keep going. Okay, I was going to do the next piece, but let's skip to... Let's skip to Yehuda. Perek Mem Tes, Pasuches. Yaakov is giving brachos to all of his children. And Yaakov says to Yehuda, I'll read you the full pasuk. Yehuda ata yoducha achecha, Yodcha ba'oref oivecha, your hand is on the neck of your enemies. Yishtachu lacha b'nei avicha, and you'll be bowed down to by your siblings, by the members of your father's household. Okay, but Yehuda ata Yehuducha achecha. What's the ata? Yehuda ata. So he explains. We'll skip the first little piece. Go to Oyuvuar. Oyuvuar milas on page. It's right after the small little piece. What page is this? Kuftes. Okay. Oyuvuar milas ata. We can explain. What does it mean? Yehuda ata. So in the first piece, he talks about tefillah and the ability for a Jew to say ata, to say you to Hashem, which sometimes seems a little chutzpahdik. I wouldn't even say. I want to say you to Rav Shechter. Right? It's a Rebbe. It's a Rav Shechter. Does Rav Shechter mind if I ask a question? I would say, do you mind? In Hashem, we say you. Hashem, we say you. What's the pshat? So he explains an amazing piece. I think Rav Eli likes this piece. I think he's into this piece of. I think he wants to tell me he likes this piece. Okay, so let's see. Oh, Yevuah Milas Ata. What does it mean, Ata? Yehuda Ata. Ki Yadua Shekol Adam Tzarech Leschazek Belibo Amuna Zos. This is good for those of us who've been learning about Tefillah in the afternoon. Get a little chizik in Tefillah. We need to be mechazik ourselves in the following belief. Shebavada in a Kodesh Baruch Hu Moes Chas V'Sholem B'Shum Tefillas Amo Yisrael. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not reject any Tefillah that a Jew davens in this world. No matter who we are, no matter what we are, Afakadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Gadol Hagibur Vanora, even though Akadosh Baruch Hu is so great that we can't even begin to imagine that. Right? Lo Dumya Tehila. And yet to him, praise is a good thing. Right? Dumya actually means silence. So to you, silence is praise. Right? You might think being quiet to Hashem is the best way to praise him. But Afal Pichain, Yakur Be'inav Diburim Shal Amo Yisrael. Hashem loves when Jews talk to him. It doesn't matter if you're a great Jew or you haven't been acting like such a great Jew. Hashem loves when his children give him a call. Afilu imishu chas v'shalom b'diyota tachtona. Amazing lashon. A person who's mamish on the lowest rung of the ladder. Afal pichein magiyam izetanug lahabori yisbarach. When a Jew calls home, right? Sometimes it's even more exciting. The Jew who's been away. The child who hasn't been in touch with the parents for years and then reaches out. So the child also who does a lot of averus and then calls Hashem. Hashem is very excited to hear from you. He's so happy to know you're still connected to him. Va'al yachshov Adam im kein gadol kol kach midas tuvos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person will say, well, if Hashem is so generous, we just said, a person who's on a very low level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is excited to hear from him. Well, if Hashem is so generous, then maybe I don't even have to call. Why do I even need to daven? I mean, the fact that Hashem allows me to call is such a big chiddush that it's not really that much different than if I wouldn't reach out at all. So a person should say, if Hashem is so generous with his midas satov, mali lispal b'lev nishbar v'nidcha, b'lo ze gam ken HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekabel ha'tfilah. Why do I need to work hard to daven, right? Meaning, if it's so exciting for Hashem to receive a phone call, so what difference does it make if I have a good conversation or not a good conversation, if I approach the tefillah in the right way or not the right way? I'm talking to Hashem, either way it's good. Asur la'odom lachshav kach, don't think that. The way that you daven, the effort you put into your davening does matter. Of course, Hashem is always excited to hear from you. Right? But the way the conversation goes still matters. Ki roi l'chol adam shiyachshov hadvar mahem kodem kol tefillah. A person needs to think about the following. Think about what he wants to daven, but also to think about the following before he davens. Dahainu, kama malachim yeshlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has endless amounts of angels in the heavens. Asher kol malach hu shlish olam. Chazal say in the Medrash that each malach is the size of a third of the world. And a malach, a regular, what we call just a regular malach, is kigargir hachardal, is like a grain of sand, b'fnei ofan echad. Right, we know there are malachim, there are ofanim, there are seraphim, there are all sorts of angels in heaven. The Rambam talks in Yisodei HaTorah about the ten different names for malachim, right? So a regular malach, which is as big as a third of the world, whatever that means, is like a grain of sand compared to the ofanim. V'ofanim, compared to the chayos HaKodesh, mamish nothing. V'achayos, compared to Kisei HaKavod, V'kulam sho'alim, and all of them ask, because Hashem is so grandiose that they have no conception of it whatsoever, Ayei Mekom Kavod, where is Hashem? Right? So a little puny us, Basar V'dam, mamish a grain of sand, nothing compared to a malach, nothing compared to an ofa, nothing compared to the Chayos HaKodesh, nothing compared to the Kisei HaKavod, nothing compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the angels are trying to connect to Hashem, Ayei Mekom Kavodo. And you and me, we talk to Hashem, and Hashem is—he's listening, he's connected. Va'ata ben Adam yishmu aznacha mashata motzi mipicha. Right? And think about the words that come out of your own mouth. Kula mahuvim, v'chulu, v'chulim osin be'imo v'yir ratzon koneim. These malachim are so much bigger than us, and yet they're so aware of being in the presence of Hashem. With Eima and Yira, right? They carry out the will of Hashem. Umeyata yechrad ha'ish v'yalafes ba'omdo li'ispal lifnei melech gadol kazeh. So again, we have to, on the one hand, realize the unbelievable schus of talking to Hashem, and at the same time, we need to approach in the right way. The angels are very afraid, right? In our ignorance, we don't even know what we're stepping up to do, to talk to the king of the world. Umeyaroi lizdazeya b'chol eivar, and we should be shaking with all of our limbs. The Berditchever himself, Kiyadua, was bouncing around the room during Davin. He was mamish, you know, the Tzadikim was stood perfectly still. The Kotzker, I think they say, didn't even shuckle at all when he davened. But some said that the Berditchever was mamish, bouncing when he was davening. That all of his limbs were, right? And it was with an Ava and with a Yira. V'chein la'achara tefila yachsho b'dayto eich yamali es levavi l'dabr b'fi dvarim b'telim v'nen meha. And then think about the fact, the same mouth that I use to talk to Hashem, I sometimes talk about such stupid things. A minute ago I was saying, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. A minute ago I was saying, Baruch aleinu. A minute ago I was talking about Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh, and davening for the destruction of Rishayim. And now I'm sitting around using my same mouth for all sorts of silliness. And that mouth is going to have to once again stand before Hashem. I have to use that mouth again. So again, there's a certain mindfulness that a person has to have, and an awareness that the mouth that I use for tefillah is not a small thing. And from those tefillos, when a Jew does come before Hashem, and again, even the Jew on the diota katana, tachtona, has a right to talk to Hashem, it gives Hashem tremendous pleasure. Who goreim shefa b'chol ha'olamos, ki hakol toloi b'maisa tachtonim. It creates a downpouring of shefa from all the worlds, because everything depends upon our behavior. Ayidei tfilaseinu v'shiros v'tishbachos shalanu. When we daven, it brings things to the world. Kepshuto. V'nimsim izan nikar godel tovaso yisbarach. She'af al pishu melech gadol kamo shamarnu l'mala. And therefore we come to recognize the goodness of Hashem, even though he's such a great king. And yet Hashem takes our words so seriously. Hein beisek haTorah, hein beisek haTefillah. And that's an amazing thing, that Hashem is interested in us. Right? We say in the Musaf of Yom Kippur, Asher omeid tilasecha, v'avis tihila v'hi tilasecha. Right? That this is tilasecha, Hashem, this is what you look forward to. And therefore we see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Not only does Hashem love us as his children, and he listens to us so carefully, but he considers us like his brothers, his partners. It's said about our relationship with Hashem. And now if you really understand, if you believe that you're partnering with Hashem, and you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets enough from you, right? And as much as Hashem gives to us, we also give to Him in a certain sense. Like we saw once, the Lashon from the Berditchever, that we're Mefarnesin Avinu Shvashamayim, that we give Parnasa to Him, we sustain Him, we give Him a voice in the world, so therefore we can say, Ata, right? Ata, you Hashem, who we feel so close to, no matter what level we're on, we're able to talk to you. Baruch, Ata, of course there's Hashem, there's Melech HaOlam, but there's also Ata. Part of the relationship is Ata. To be able to say Ata and Tamina. Right? Ata, you Hashem. And what gives you the greatest pleasure in the world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is it that you love so much? Yoducha Achecha. That your brothers, Klal Yisrael, Laman Achai V'Re'ai, right? Are Moda, are Hoda. They praise you. They thank you. They're connected to you. And when a Jew talks to Hashem, it gives Hashem an unbelievable tamak. Yeah. Right. Straight.
This level of Atah.
Right. Right. So direct that you don't even. Right. Megillah Esther also. Yeah. Hashem's name doesn't appear in the Megillah, but it's Mamish the Igeris. It's the love letter. For Wolfson writes in one of his psalms. It's the love letter between Klai Yisrael and Hashem. So you could talk straight without any of the titles. Okay, Chaver, now we're coming to something Mamish that's very relevant. Extremely relevant, and we have to remind ourselves that this Motzei Shabbos begins Shovavim. Right, as we enter into Chumash Shemos. We start the week of Shemos. This Motzei Shabbos is the beginning of the Shovim period, which is a man of really working on oneself, both in terms of Kedushas HaBris, Kedushas HaGuf, and of course all of that comes along with greater commitment to Torah, Kedushas HaPeh, as we'll talk about, right, like we just talked about. Okay, so let's see, yeah.
I think I read once the praying with fire, little, like, data thing that a good thing with two is like, it's like when you're a little child, like, gets hurt on the playground and, like, runs into their parents' arms, like, crying, like, mommy, daddy, like, I've heard, like, there's no, I'm not a parent, but there's theoretically no, like, greater pleasure in the world.
Right, and then just jumping into
the kid to run in, so it well with that, like, I presume, like,
right.
Rebbe's children or Shechter's children don't call their dad's Rebbe, or Mursi, they say daddy. So like it's like with Hashem, when we're in that state of tefillah and vulnerability, next we say
Alta. Right, it's true. We don't need the formalities, right? Shechter actually goes by daddy. Sure. Just in case you didn't know that. I mean, not like to regular people, to his children. So I'll be clear about that. I don't want to. I'm saying, I don't think anyone should go over to a Shechter in the Beis Medrash. Although, Rebbe's like a father, so. I don't recommend it. I don't think he'd flinch, or Shechter in his humility wouldn't flinch, but.
I don't recommend it. If you go to the hills where people are being voted, you hear like. Of the mountains, people screaming.
Tati. It's the highest level. Okay, let's go to Yisachar. We'll jump to the bracha of Yisachar. Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Yedal, Yisachar, the bracha of Yisachar. What page? Too far? Yisachar, Chamor, Garam. Kuf Yud Aleph. Thank you so much. Kuf Yud Aleph.
First column. Like.
Yeah.
Second bold word of the first column.
Okay, Yisachar Chamor Garem, Rovetz Veina Mishpatayim. Rashi says Yisachar Chamor Garem means a chamor is like a donkey, balat samos, a strong bone donkey. Yisachar is a strong bone donkey. What does it mean? Is a strong bone donkey? Rashi says Sovel Ol Torah. So he carries the weight of Torah, like a chamor that's chazak. Rashi says that carries a heavy burden. Right, not that Torah Chas Shalom is a burden, right? But it's weighty. It's a weighty responsibility. So look at this. Pasuk says, Yisachar, I'm going to read you the whole series of Pesukim about Yisachar. Yisachar chamor garem. Yisachar is a strong bone donkey. Rovetz bein ha-mishpatayim, crouching between the borders. Ve'yar menucha kito v'sa'aretz ki na'ema. Ve'yet shechmo lizbol v'yihi lamas oved. That he sees that rest is delightful, and yet he bends his shoulder, he inclines his shoulder to carry the burden, and he does so with great commitment. Okay, so says the Berditcher an amazing thing. Haremez. Yeah, everyone see the piece? Haremez. Haremez. Hascharba machmas haguf shaguf moshe chlitzad echad. Yisachar, yesh sachar. You know why you have schar in this world? Why do we get schar in this world? Because there's a conflict. There's a body and there's a neshama. Yesh sachar haremez haschar ba machmas shaguf moshech letzad echad, because the body draws in one direction, which is not the direction of the neshama. Machmas ze ba haschar, and because of that, a person gets reward. Vizeo yisachar haremez yesh sachar. If you want to know why you get sachar, chamor garem. Chamor, it's the fact that there's a part of you that's very donkey-like, that's garem, that's gorem, that causes it. Grama. Right. There's a part of you called chamor that causes you to get reward. Yesh sachar, chamor, garem. Haguf hu hagorem haschar. The body causes reward. Now before we're marich in this, and this will probably be the last piece we do today. There's a lot more here. Maybe we'll do one, mamash, the last piece on the parsha in a couple of minutes. But let's just see. Look at the next piece. O yivuar yisachar. Yeah, at the top of the left column, kuf yud aleph. He elaborates a little bit. O yivuar yisachar chamor garem. Again, the punch-up shot, Yisachar is a strong bone donkey, but he's learning it, yesh sachar, there is reward, because the fact that there's chumrius, there's physicality, that's goreim, that causes you to get sachar. The fact that there's a conflict between body and soul, if you choose the soul, you deserve reward. That's a hard choice to make, and that's the right choice to make. Peirush, de'ikir sachar ha-megil la'adam, hu machmas sheragil minu'urav b'taivas ha-gufnios. The reason that you get rewarded is because when you're a kid, you only have a Yetzirah, Chazal say. Ki nefesh ha-sichli balo la'achar yud gimel shanim. You don't even have a Yetzirah Tov. Chazal say, the nefesh ha-sichli, the good part of your neshama, the Yetzirah Tov, call it what you will, doesn't enter a person until he turns 13. Right, for a girl, probably 12. Today is my daughter's 12th birthday. I gave her a big bracha this morning. I gave her the bracha that we give our daughters Friday night. All Jewish people do. But I told her in Birchas Kohanim, I said, the Iker is Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha. I said, Gabriella, the main thing is that you should feel the light of Hashem in your life. The Ya'er, the light bulb should go on. That's the biggest racha when you feel it. She's taking it very seriously. She's so cute. She's like very, very serious about turning 12. She's like a little nervous about it, it's okay, I guess. So anyway, so until you get to the age of Gil Mitzvot, you don't even have it's just body. When you're a baby, what does a baby do? A baby does what it wants. A baby eats and it drinks and it sleeps and right, and then all of a sudden now you're a bar mitzvah boy. Now you have to become a ben Torah. Now all of a sudden you have to sit down. Right, until now I was just a little kid running around. Now I have all these responsibilities. So my body has been trained for 13 years to do what I want.
The baby's born with his fist closed.
That's correct. The baby's born with his fist closed. The baby takes, doesn't open the hand to give. Exactly. V'hu meshuka b'taivos. And a person, again, is sunken into the childish taivos. So when you break that, when you become, again, with the strength of Yisachar, Yesh Sachar, you know why? Because Chamor, because the fact that there's a donkey, there's a chumrius, there's a physicality. So for all the times you feel annoyed, I wish I wasn't such a Baal Taiva, which we all are, each on our own level, right? We should realize that the only reason you get reward is because there's a struggle and you make good choices. Sometimes you don't make good choices, okay. But realize that your body is what gives life meaning. It's the conflict, it's the struggle that makes it worthwhile. He says, if not for the body and the pleasures of the body, the desires of the chumrius, of the physicality, a person wouldn't get reward in this world. And that's what it means again, Yisachar chamor gorem. Osios yesh sachar. The hainu. She is shulam la'adam hagmul. A person gets paid reward. Why? Chamor garem. Perish hachumrius. Shehu meshuka. The things that he's sunken in, the physicality that he's literally sunken in, zegorim laschar. His ability to overcome that is what creates reward in this world. Yeah.
It's kind of like what Rebbe was saying the other day, that the sur mera is almost as...
Right?
As
right. Being able to break free from right the chains of the guf, which have lived a certain way for so long. To be able to change it. All the more so if a person wasn't religiously inspired until he was 17, 18, 19 years old. All the more so you've adapted away. And to be able to fight back, yesh sachar. The more chumrius you are, the more physical you are, right? The greater yetzahar is, the greater potential you have to achieve great things in this world.
That's similar to, we had that piece by Rafael Karsh last year, with Tom Tuffin, who's all the energy for Torah.
Right.
And is this like, al derech avodas Hashem, like if you theoretically like have your like and make an aliyah, or is it like schar al mava? That you only get schar al mava because you struggled in this world.
I don't know, what's the other option?
I don't know, like schar al mazia. Like,
are you saying where does one get this schar? Yesh schar. I mean, usually we assume schar mitzvah b'hai al maleka. We're in kedushin. We don't get reward in this world. But there are certain things. There are certain things that tzaddikim say you can get reward. So it could be for the extra effort here. You get some type of reward in this world. I don't know. But I want to just talk about this piece for a couple of minutes. I'll just be marich in this piece a little bit. First of all, chamor, a donkey, right, and its association with physicality, with chumrius, is an idea that the Maharal of Prague develops a lot. The Maharal has in many places in the Netzach Yisrael in the second parak, in the Gvuras Hashem in the 29th parak, in the Gur Arya, his commentary on Rashi, in Shmos Parak Dal, in many places the Maharal says that a donkey is a very simple animal. Right? Again, when a person is just being simplistic and not thinking, not using the neshama, so they're just involved in all sorts of simple desires. But the Maharal develops in many places. I'll just read you one line. For example, in the Netzach Yisrael, he says, Chamor bal chai hachumri biyoser ve'in bo chachma. A donkey is an animal that's the most chumri, it's the most physical, ve'in bo chachma. And it lacks intelligence, it lacks wisdom. So again, like a child, who's just involved in childish things. And now all of a sudden I have to be a big boy. have to be a mature thinker. Be a responsible Jew. That's a very hard thing to break. But when you do, yesh sachar. There's tremendous reward for that. Okay, which area in particular, and again, this is sort of a hakdama to shovim, haba aleinu letova, which area of taiva is the chamor most connected to? So I'll share with you another Maharal. The Maharal in the Chedushei Agados, it's his commentary on the Agadata, Avodah Zarah Daf Hei Amud Beis. The Maharal says in Chedushei Agados, Zeches Avodah Zarah Daf Hei Amud Beis, again, I'll read you the Lashon. He says, Chamor hu Yetzer Erva. It's the Yetzer Hara for Arayos. Shu Maisa Chomri. It's a very physical act. As the Gemara in Sota says, what's the carbon? What's the carbon of the Isha Sota made out of? Made out of barley, right? Barley is animal food. So the Gemara says, "Mipnei ma karbana shel sota saorin." Why does the isha sota have an animal food carbon? Saora, barley is eaten by animals, right? Why not a wheat offering? Mipnei she'asa ma'isa chamor, l'chach karbana meichel chamor. She did something like a donkey. She cheated on her husband. She did a donkey-like act. Ein bo chachma, pure taiva. Arayos in particular is chamor. So therefore, her carbon, mida keneged mida, is animal food, is seorin, right? Who is compared amongst the nations of the world? Who's compared to a chamor? Gemara Maseches Yevamos, Yishmael. When Avram is on his way to Akedas Yitzchak, and he says to Yishmael, Shvu lachem po im a chamor, you stay here with the donkey. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis Amar Aleph says im a chamor because you're am ha chamor, you're am hadom la chamor. You're a donkey-like nation. Which means, interestingly, that Yishmael represents Taiva, represents Arayos. And even though superficially, the Arab world sometimes presents itself as being very Tzanua, the way that some of the more extreme Arab dress practices go, right? But in truth, the Quran gives a man permission to do with his wife as he pleases, in a sexual way. In a way that's totally foreign to the proper intimate relationship between husband and wife, as the Torah mandates. So therefore, they're an Am Hadom Lechamor.
And their Olam Haba is...
Right, and their Olam Haba, right, the ultimate Olam Haba is nothing but, right, sexual pleasure.
Wait,
so they're an Am Hadom Lechamor, yeah.
Where exactly is that Maharal?
The Maharal that says that Chamor is, that represents Arayos, is in the Chedushei Agados, of Avodah Zarah Daf Hei Amud Beis. Daf Hei Amud Beis. It's interesting. The Rambam, what do you find in the Rambam Sefer Kedusha? What's in the Rambam Sefer Kedusha? That's one of the 14 sections of the Rambam. What do you find? Right, if I ask Kedusha, what's in Kedusha? Is Talmud Torah in Kedusha?
No.
Is Tshuva in Kedusha? What's in Kedusha? Is bringing Karbanos in Kedusha? Kedusha is two topics. Kedusha is two topics. Food and sex. That's it. Machalos asuros, forbidden things to eat, and Yisurei Bia. That's it. That's safe for Kedusha. What you put in your mouth and what you do with your body. Kedusha is a pen, Kedusha is a bris, that's Kedusha. The answer is yes, that's Kedusha. That's exactly what Kedusha is. Hilchos Shchita, Machalos asuros, and Yisurei Bia. That's the Rambam safe for Kedusha. Section of Halacha. And Yisiva Shalom writes in one of his Na'alef Beis volume, he talks about this. How Kedusha, you see the Rambam tells you, Kedusha is sexual morality and eating in a way that's not entirely animalistic. And the relationship between food and intimacy is very, very strong. It's very, very strong. You ask people who are involved in Kiruv, right, they'll tell you, many people will tell you, that when a Jew starts to stray from his Yiddishkeit, begins to eat not kosher, it's not too long before he has a non-Jewish girlfriend. That those two come together in a very strong way. Right? That when a person starts to eat in a way that's taivadik, then it leads to arayos. Because Kedusha Sapeh and Kedusha Sabris are very strongly connected. The Ramban quotes from the Sefer Yetzira. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed a covenant between our 10 fingers and a covenant between our 10 toes. Covenant between our 10 fingers, between our 10 toes. So if you picture it right, so it also corresponds to the 20, right, the 10 fingers, the 10 toes, the mouth and the bris correspond to the 22 letters of the Torah.
which is also very fascinating. Right? But if you, what does it mean, the covenant between the 10 fingers and the 10 toes? If you picture a person, you know, like a stick figure, standing with his arms and legs spread out, right? So between his hands is his mouth, and between his legs is his bris milah. And that's the covenant, so to speak, above and below. Kedushas ha-peh and kedushas ha-bris. Which, of course, is the pnimius of metzitza b'peh, that, you know, bringing the bris and the peh together by a bris milah, right? But you see that even in the Torah, you see a relation between eating and intimacy. When Yosef comes to Potiphar, and Potiphar says, I trust you with everything except for one thing. What's the one thing he doesn't trust him with? What does the pasuk say in parts of Vayeshev? Ki am alechem, asher hu alchem. Potiphar trusted him with everything except for the bread that he eats. What does Rashi say, the bread that he eats? His wife. So the Ibn Ezra says, since when is bread called a wife? Right? Ibn Ezra says it means the bread. But you see that there's a connection, again, between a euphemistic, Rashi says it's a euphemistic expression. He was being medaber in Lashon Nekiyah. You're speaking in a refined way. Instead of Potiphar saying, I trust you with everyone but my wife, because she's a little bit sleazy, right? He said in a nice way, I trust you with everything except for the bread that I eat. What does that mean? It means that my wife sustains me the same way food sustains me. Right? But there's a relationship, and again, Ibn Ezra says, he says it's talking about Pashup Shad bread, but there's a relationship between the two. There's a relationship between the two. When the Shlach HaKadosh was on his way to the Chuppah, it was amazing, Shlach HaKadosh. Yeah? He was a Talmud of the Marashal. So he said his Rebbe told him on the way to the Chuppah, the first Slanim Rebbe brings us in the Yesod Avoda. First Slanim Rebbe was named Rav Avram Weinberg. First Slanim Rebbe says that when the Shlach was on the way to the Chuppah, his Rebbe told him the following. He says, I give you a bracha that you should be careful in two things. If you want to have a good marriage, I give you a bracha, you should be careful in two things. Kedushas Achila and Kedushas HaZivuk. The Shlach HaKadosh. Not too many people are called HaKadosh. The Shlach HaKadosh says, on the way to my chuppah, my Rebbe told me, if you want to have success in life, be careful about how you eat, what you eat, when you eat, and be careful about the way that you're intimate with your wife. Because these two things are called lechem. Lechem means the thing that sustains you. Right? Your relationship, your interaction with your body. Those are the two things that are called lechem in this world. And that's the Inyan, by the way, on Shabbos. And Yeshiva Shalom writes somewhere, I don't remember where it is. He writes in one of the parashios that the Inyan al pi pnimius of Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. What's the Inyan of Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos? The Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is intimate with his wife from one Leil Shabbos to the next, right? Friday night is the time for a Talmud Chacham to be intimate with his wife. And certainly the food that we eat on Shabbos is enhanced, right? But on Shabbos we break two breads, right? So it's called Betziah Sapas, breaking bread. We break two breads on Shabbos. During the week, you don't need Lechem Mishnah. On Shabbos, you break two breads. So Nesi Lashem says, what are the two breads? The bread kipshuto. We eat differently on Shabbos. The achila is more b'kedusha. And again, the intimacy also. The relationship between husband and wife is also, right, more b'kedusha. So that's breaking the bread means what? I break the taiva. I'm not just eating for the pleasure. I'm not just being with my wife for the pleasure. But I'm doing it because it's part of Yached Yechudim. It's a zivug. It's bringing together holy things. I want to read you a Lashon. Again, before we get to Shovavim, starting this Motzei Shabbos, I want to read you from the Megillah Sefer, which is the autobiography of Rav Yaakov Emden. Okay? Now, listen carefully. I'm a little embarrassed to read this, but for the same reason Rav Yaakov Emden wrote it in his autobiography, which was meant to be published, because he was honest about his real life. Rav Yaakov Emden. The author of the Shelas Yaivitz, Shalas and Chuvas Shelas Yaivitz, the Morg Tzia on Shulchan Aruch. Talking about a Gadol Shabi Gadolim. This isn't what he writes. From the Sefer, it's called Megillah Sefer. That's the name of his autobiography. Okay, I'm going to read you from the English translation, which was done by Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter. A miracle also occurred to me, especially relevant to matters spiritual. It was a miracle similar to that of Yosef the righteous, and even slightly more so. Ready? I was a young man, tender in years, in the full strength of my passion. I had been separated from my wife for a long time and greatly desired a woman. A very pretty, unmarried, young girl, who was my cousin, happened to meet me there and was alone with me. She brazenly demonstrated great love to me, came close to me, and almost kissed me. Even when I was lying in my bed, she came to cover me well on the couch in a close, loving manner. Truthfully, had I hearkened to the advice of my instincts, she would not have denied my desire at all. Several times it indeed almost happened, as a fire consumes the chaff. Frequently there was no one in the house with me but her. They, i.e. the members of the family, were also not accustomed to come, for they stayed in the store of the marketplace, occupied with their livelihood all day, meaning I wouldn't have gotten caught. There was no one around. Had God not given me great strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, to overcome my fiery instinct, which once almost forced me to do its abiding, to do its bidding, and were it not for the grace of God, which was great upon me, I would have been unable to withstand this very powerful temptation, greater than all temptations. I was a man at the prime of my strength and passion. There was a very pleasant, beautiful woman before me, who demonstrated for me all manners of love and closeness many times. She was related to me, unmarried, a tender child, and recently widowed. She may have been ritually pure, or would have ritually purified herself had I requested it. She would have gone to the mikvah for me, if that's what I asked her. If I had wanted to feel my passionate desire for her, I was absolutely certain that she would not reveal my secret. I controlled my instinct, conquered my passion, and determined to kill it. My heart was hallowed, and I did not. Blessed be the Lord who gives strength to the weary, for I was saved from this flaming fire. Yaakov Emden. Pretty intense, no? It's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
But like the Sfas Emes says in Parshas Vayeshev, that we get our strength from the Avos. And the Avos in this regard was Yosef HaTzadik, quasi-Av. Part Av, part Ben. Yosef HaTzadik paved the way. The Gemara says that handsome people are going to have to answer in the world to come for not controlling their taivos. And they'll say, how could I control my taivos? So I said, what do you mean Yosef HaTzadik did it? So the Sfas Emes says, that's great that Yosef HaTzadik did it. What does it do with me? Yosef paved the way for us. If he did it, he made it part of our spiritual DNA that we can make that right choice also. So I'll just end with an unbelievable ma'isa. And then we'll just do the last piece of Kedusha Slave on the Parsha, on the Haftorah, the last little piece. It's an amazing ma'isa. The Chavetz Chaim tells it in one of his lesser known Svarim. Chavetz Chaim wrote a sefer for soldiers. It makes sense that this story would be in the sefer. It's called Machane Yisrael. Machane Yisrael. Chavetz Chaim wrote a lot of little kuntresim, smaller books. So in Perek Yud Tes of the Machane Yisrael, the Chavetz Chaim tells a wild story, and I'll tell you the end of the story that he doesn't write. He says that the Levush, the Baal HaLevushim, Levush is a major, major work of halacha from the 1600s. The Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffe, was his name, quoted all the time by the Mishnah Berurah. The Levush was able to become the Levush, he felt, because of the following incident. The Levush was apparently an extremely handsome person, a very intelligent person, and there was a woman, a non-Jewish woman, who was trying to seduce him. He was trying to get the Levush to commit a Maisa Aveira with her. He said one time, he had such a taiva for her, that she was trying to seduce him to she met him in the street, she was trying to get him to come back to her place. He said he didn't know what to do, he was about to give in. He said, what can I do to escape this temptation? So he said there was somewhere, you know, not far from where he was, there was a bathhouse, right? A bathroom or a cesspool. And he decided the only thing that he can do, the Levush himself was a wealthy person, was from a noble family, and he was dressed very beautifully. And he decided he's going to go and he's going to jump into that cesspool, dirtying his clothing, and do something that's so repulsive that this woman will never look at him again. That's what he did. He ran and he jumped into these filthy, disgusting sewage water, dirtying his levushim. But the way that it's told, again, Chavetz Chaim brings it, B'shem Desfar Makadoshim, that B'schus, dirtying those levushim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to give you a better levush. I'm going to give you a sefer called the Levush. And all of his volumes of the Levush, he has volumes in Halacha, he has volumes on Torah, he's a super commentary on Rashi, all called different Levushim based on the Pasuk where Mordechai went out, Levush Tcheles, Butz, Vargaman, all the different volumes are called Levush this, Levush that. Hashem said, because you dirtied your Levushim, I'm going to give you a sefer Levush that's going to be Mekubal and Klal Yisrael as a major, major work of Halacha. That's the story. That's how the Chavetz Chaim brings it in the Machane Yisrael and Perek Yud Tes. But I once heard a longer version of the story, B'shem Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender. Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender Zatzal passed away in the late 1980s. He was one of the Ziknei Breslov in his time. Brought many people to Tshuva in the 70s and the 80s. Beautiful, beautiful tzaddik. And Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender told the following story. He said that when he was in yeshiva, in his younger years, there was a bachur in yeshiva named Rav Yitzchak Karakowski. And this Yitzchak Karakowski was unbelievably handsome and unbelievably charismatic and unbelievably brilliant. And he said one time, this Rav Yitzchak Karakowski's father came to visit yeshiva. And when he met his father, he was shocked. He said his father, he's embarrassed to say it, but he said his father was an ugly man. It didn't make sense. This handsome, charismatic, brilliant young man, that this was his father. His father was an unintelligent person, a very simple, very plain person. A person of very strange appearance, and he couldn't put it together how this kid came from him. So he said his father told him the following family secret. He said that we're descendants of the Lavush. And after this happened to the Lavush, where his great wealth and his wisdom and his charisma and his handsome looks got him into trouble with this non-Jewish noblewoman, Lavush davened in that cesspool that day. He said, Hashem, for the next 10 generations, I don't want any of my descendants to be handsome, to be smart, to be... I don't want them to have this taiva. And as Yitzhak Karakowski said, my father was generation 10, and I'm generation 11. It's unbelievable. So he had the beauty of the Lavush, he had the charisma of the Lavush, he had the brilliance of the Lavush. That's what Rav Levi Yitzhak Bender said, that he heard from the Baal Maisa. But again, it shows how a person, Yisachar Chamor Garam, that when a person, Yisachar, the greatest schar you get, is when your body is pulling you in one direction, and you say, that's not for me. Yesh Sachar, big Sachar, life-changing Sachar. Again, in the story of the Lavush. Okay, let's end with the last piece on the Kedusha Slavin this week's Parsha. And again, you'll have plenty of homework to look at all the other pieces, a lot of good things. But very interesting pshat, just to keep in mind. We often think that David HaMelech lived, that David HaMelech lived for 70 years, because who donated 70 years of life? Adam Rishon. Adam was supposed to live 1,000 years, and he gave 70 years to David. That's why David lived 70, and Adam lived 930. The Zohar has a different tradition. The Zohar says that the 70 years of Adam Arishon, of David HaMelech, came from Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef. Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef. How many years were donated by the Avos? 33. Why? How many years did Avraham live? 175. He's supposed to live 180, but he died 5 years early, so as not to see the troubles with Esav. So Avram gave 5 years of his life. Yaakov lived 147. How long did Yitzhak, his father, live? 175. So that means that Yaakov gave 28 years of life. So that's 33 years. And then Yosef, who lived 110, not like his father, 147, gave 37 years. So the 70 years of David HaMelech, again, are divided 5 years from Avram, 28 years from Yaakov, and 37 years from Yosef. So, in the Haftorah, says the Berditchever in the last piece, that David HaMelech we know is a Melech in Chevron for 7 years, and in Yerushalayim for 33 years. 33 years, that's interesting. 33 years of David's life came from Avraham and Yaakov. So he says, the Zohar Kadosh tells us, Ki yadua maimer Zohar Kadosh, David lo kibla malchuso shleimusa ad yischaber ba'avon. David HaMelech only received, the Zohar says, his full malchus when he attached himself to the Avos. What does that mean, David's malchus was dependent upon the Avos? So the Berditcher says, I'll tell you what it means. The Zohar tells us in Parshas Vayishlach, the Yosef hiniach leDavid shiva shloshim shana, Yosef donated 37 years to the Avos, v'yeser ashanim kibal meha Avos, me'avram v'yakov. And the other 33 came from Avraham and Yaakov. So David HaMelech's primary malchus, 33 years where? 33 years in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, nimtza malach al kol Yisrael min hayamim, asher kibal meha Avos Avram v'yakov. It's a very chashuv piece, because it teaches us that there's a strong link between the Avos HaKadoshim and David HaMelech, which makes a lot of sense to us. As we've said, the four wheels of the Merkava, Elyona, the four wheels, so to speak, of Hashem's chariot are Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. And David draws his Malchus, in a certain sense, from the Avos HaKadoshim, which is very interesting. Which means that if Malchus is really rooted in the Avos, then each and every one of us who are at the bottom of the Avos, we also have a Sheikhus to Malchus. And a Melech is a person who's in control of his midos, who's in control of his decision making, like we were just learning about Yisachar. Yeah, the Yesh Sachar, when a person makes good choices. The Ibn Ezra says in Parshas Naso that a Melech is not a person who does what he wants. A Melech is a person who people are watching and he has to make good decisions. A Melech is a person who wears the crown of royalty. It's again, the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Naso says a person who's in control of his midos, that's a Melech. So if Malchus based David, which is the ultimate Malchus, is rooted in the Avos, I think that gives us an in. Because we also have a Sheikhus to the Avos. Right? We're the bottom of the Avos. Which means, again, like I told you the other day, Rabbi Shimon says in the Mishnah in Shabbos, Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim. That every one of us is a Ben Melech. And a Ben Melech carries himself in a certain way. He makes certain types of decisions. He's able to think in a more mature way, like we learned at the beginning of this year, to be Mavatal, his old self, to break the Kli, to become a bigger Kli. And again, like Yesh Sachar, when a person understands, I'm a guf and I'm a neshama. But a ben melech acts in a way of royalty. And they make good decisions. So mirtz Hashem, we should all be zochet to wear the beautiful levushim. Like the Levush was Zochet to achieve great things by making good choices. Yirtz Hashem, we should walk in the ways of the Avos, the David HaMelech, Yisachar, the Yirtz Hashem, Ephraim and Menashe, bring a lot of Nachas Ruach to Avinu Shavah Shemayim. Okay, Shkoyach. Gavaldik.
No Chol
Stam Derek Shalom. No Chol Stam Derek Shalom, yeah. It's true. Nice to have elevated Kedusha.